Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. Welcome home, Jabari Parker, former Simeon standout. Fulfills his childhood dream. He's now a Chicago Bull. So now the questions begin. Will he stay healthy? Will he play defense? And will he get a second season in a Bulls uniform? Wilson Contreras had his all-star moment in his very first at bat. The National League lost a home run happy strikeout filled midsummer classic in extra innings. Meanwhile, Cubs quest for an NL pennant might be getting a lot more difficult. Manny Machado just about a Dodger. Does that make L.A. the best team in the league? And all the Bears are due in Bourbonnais tomorrow. Will Roquan Smith, who's unsigned, be there? And once practices begin, how will we know if Mitchell Trubisky is picking up the new offense? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Great to be back with you. I'm David Kaplan. Time for the panel for today's star-studded show. He is a man we love getting him in here. He's the one and only KC Johnson of the Chicago Tribune. Vincent Goodwill, our NBA and Bulls insider here at NBC Sports Chicago. David Haw, lead columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and you hear him on The Score. Patrick Finley, from the hardest working paper, Chicago Sun-Times. All right, let's get started with Jabari Parker, who met the media today. He officially inked his two-year deal, one with an option at $40 million total, and he met the media today. KC, do you like this move? If I had told you 3 months ago Jabari Parker's coming here, would you say that's a home run or it's kind of a wait and see?
It's a home run because of the way that the contract's structured. I mean, that's obviously been written about and talked about a lot, but I mean, it's a low risk move. It's 1 year, prove it. If things are going well, they have a chance to negotiate a long-term deal with him. If it's not, they can cut bait with him. So the contract to me makes it a no-brainer, and it's consistent with what John Paxson has said since the moment they traded Jimmy Butler. We're just going to try to accumulate as much young talent and assets as we can, and this fits in line with that.
How about your thought?
I don't know if I'm not sure quite yet. I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I know that's a little different for you to hear from me, Cap, because normally I come with some hot fire. Not today, really, because I don't know. He plays a position that you don't really need. Like, if there's one position that's stocked, it's probably that power forward spot. You're sliding him down. He's coming home to Chicago. You guys have a weird relationship with your own hometown athletes. I can't explain and get to it, but your relationship is kind of weird.
You guys.
How long you been here?
Homegrown. Homegrown, okay. Born and bred Chicago athletes. It is weird. I don't know how to explain it. I won't try to get into it. I'll just say there's a higher level of expectation, and guys try to live up to that. And sometimes that can lead to guys trying too hard and not pleasing this fan.
There's a lot of angst surrounding that. You don't know. That makes it dramatic. I mean, there's going to be some uncertainty. I like it, though. I think it's an expensive risk. But as Casey pointed out, you can get out of it after 1 year. It's a prove-it deal. And I think if anything we come away with today is that Jabari Parker returns home with a chip on his shoulder. He's eager to prove something. And I think that something is that he is not a bust. He's not a guy that is injury-prone, even though he's got two knee surgeries that suggest otherwise. You know, between the insult and the injury, this guy comes back with something to prove.
Well, and of the things to prove, staying healthy, I think, is 1A and 1A. You know, what really interests me about this deal is, let's say he's pretty good. Let's say he sticks around that second year and he's pretty good. Do you want to give him a long-term contract ever, given that injury history? I mean, you know, the two torn ACLs is never going away, regardless of how many points he averages, regardless of whether he learns how to play defense overnight.
You don't have to answer that now.
No, you don't.
You don't have to answer that today. It's a risk worth taking, though, because
you don't have to answer it for 2 years.
Right. So it's a fair question, but one that doesn't apply yet.
But here's the question, though. Why is it that everyone's concerned, and rightly so, two ACLs? There's another guy, Deshaun Watson, who's had two ACLs, and everyone's like, oh, he'll be fine. He'll be ready to roll. Is it because he had immediate success and Jabari has some question marks?
Yeah, and he just hasn't made the probably the impact that some envision for him as a number two overall former pick. I mean, number two picks usually are dominant stars, and Jabari, partly because of the injuries, has not been. I mean, he's been very good at times, particularly in that third season when he suffered the second ACL injury. That's when he was having his best season. But you know, he hasn't taken over like a lot of number two overall picks do. So I think that's part of it. And then also I think Chicago's a little bit scarred by another former ACL Bulls experience
from Simeon High School. Yeah. By the way, here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question: your biggest concern with Jabari Parker, the knee, the defense, the contract? I have no concerns. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote.
Got to be the knee. It's got to be the injuries. You look, the defense, it's optional, as he pointed out today in the NBA. A lot of defense is optional.
He pointed that out on the score. Yeah. I had him on, and he said, look, I think I'm okay as an on-ball defender. I've got to be better on the team defensive perspective. Then he goes on your station, and he says, yeah, I'm not a defensive player. I'm a scorer.
If he's a 20-8 guy, you're not going to worry about his defense. I mean, I don't know that he's going to be that guy, but I think he made the point that
he still will be.
Well,
somebody's got to play defense on this team, no matter what.
That's somebody's going to have to do
it. The Bulls aren't going to be known for their defense anymore. I think that's
what we're established. Fred Hoiberg's got to be sitting there going, okay, hold on a second now. A lot of talent that we've accumulated. Somebody's got to guard some people here.
That's why I say the whole, you know, guard packs plan of let's just accumulate young talent.
Assets.
It's a bit flawed. Yeah, assets, you know what assets mean? That you actually have to be assets, not expensive assets, not damaged goods. There's a big difference between
Who don't you like of the top six?
It's not even
Or the six they've gotten since the Jimmy trade, the main six guys, all under 24.
Dunn,
who don't
LaVine,
you like?
LaVine, Markkanen, Jabari Parker, the two you draft.
And Hutchison, yeah.
Hutchison and Cook.
It's not who do you like, it's which ones do you have answers on? At this point in time, what do you know moving forward? Sometimes it's like having a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
I know
that's not a franchise quarterback.
Marketing.
Yeah, and that's fine. And he's on a rookie deal, and you don't have to worry about him for a little bit. But the people you've invested in, like Zach LaVine, has to be better this season in a number of different ways.
Would you have matched that deal?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, because, look, if a guy's playing on an ACL and he's coming back and you've said this year doesn't matter, then you can't say, oh, all of a sudden it does matter when Sacramento comes in with a $78 million offer.
You have matched it.
100%. Got $108 million salary cap next season. It's by percentage of cap. And as Vince said, I mean, it's just the right move because you can't let a 23-year-old asset walk for nothing.
You cannot let assets keep walking away. Yeah. Agreed.
But you got to have a plan, too.
But how many teams that are playoff teams know those answers about the top six players?
Is this a playoff team?
Well,
you said how many playoff teams. So yeah, is this a playoff team?
I'm saying the teams
absolutely
that made
not
the playoffs in the
whoa,
East.
Whoa.
Wait.
Are you telling me in the Eastern Conference this is
stutter?
Not a playoff team?
I don't care if it's the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
I don't care if it's the ACC. Mm-hmm. This is not a playoff team.
Disagree.
No, it's not.
You want to make a bet?
Let's make a bet.
But it's not a huge.
I'll go bald and you'll grow hair, okay?
You think it's a playoff team?
If you're asking me to pick, I have to pick yes or no, I say no. I think they'll be right there for the 8, 9, 10 seed, but I say no.
I say it, all of a sudden it's outrage. KC says it, everybody gets quiet.
He's the dean of NBA writers.
And what am I, the runt of the NBA
Sam
writers?
Smith. Sam Smith.
It's all
you're
in the,
from Detroit.
Oh, right. You just told us.
There you go. Basically.
My question for you guys is them making the playoffs a good thing? Like, if we're doing this right, shouldn't they not be the 8-9 seed? Shouldn't they be the 12?
But see, here's my thing. There's this, like, scarlet letter that's come with now being the 8th seed in the playoffs.
Right.
If you're the 8th seed in the playoffs and your best players are young and ascending, sure, then it's a sign that you're moving forward in the right direction. If you're an 8th seed and your best players are old and aging and there's no upside, no, I think making the playoffs will mean Zach LaVine turns into a complete player and Chris Dunn turns into a top-level point guard and Lauri Markkanen makes a big jump and Jabari Parker stays healthy. If that happens, great. I'll do a laps all the way up and down Lakeshore Drive if the Bulls make the playoffs.
Did anything that Wendell Carter did in the Vegas League change your impression of him from draft night? Either one of you guys.
His footwork when he was on switches against smaller players was way better than I thought it would be because he played so much zone in Duke. You couldn't really judge that. You know, his length was what it was advertised and his wingspan and his defensive instincts and his rim protection were all about what I expected. But if you watch his footwork, the times you switch on to Colin Sexton or Trae Young, it was phenomenal.
Cap, you're phenomenal. You're going to have a heart attack on this one. I thought the Bulls made the right pick that night. I think me and KC were like right on it even during like the draft process. Like, this is the guy.
Yep.
From a low maintenance standpoint, from an attribute standpoint, from basically what you don't have to worry about with him. I think that was the right pick at the time, whether you knew Jabari Parker was coming or not. Like, so there are some guys that you have to take that you don't want to have to worry about. And I think he's one of those guys that's going to develop at his own pace, and defensively, I think he's going to be a monster.
Hutchinson, a rotational player as a rookie, do you think he contributes immediately? Because maybe, he's one of those six.
Maybe force-fed. Okay. I don't know. I don't have a handle on him yet. One more thing about Carter. You brought up the low maintenance. You were on that pretty early. I could give him a little Vince, a little credit there. I will say is, like, I mean, what players do you hear talk about, like, the joy of setting screens and, like, learning from Robin Lopez? And with the way this team is structured now, that stuff is even more valuable.
You've got nine players that you basically have identified that you feel reasonably good about, correct? Nine.
Well, if you count 10, if you count Robin Lopez, you got 10.
Okay, so you got 10. You got 10 guys, and you still don't think that this is a team that could sneak into the eighth seed in the East?
Well, let me tell you two things young teams don't do in the NBA. Young teams don't defend. Young teams don't win.
They're generally related. I mean, so the Bulls are going to have to defend.
I mean, I said those two things completely unrelated to the other.
Who's the cream of the East after Toronto and Boston?
It doesn't matter who the cream
Sixers.
Is.
And
Sixers.
Those
three.
Six, yeah, it's just that you're not ready.
Pacers.
What if Kawhi Leonard plays 19 games for
Pacers,
whatever reason?
That has nothing to do with you.
Bucks. We're up to six.
Wait, we had three. Who are the next
Pacers
one?
Are pretty good.
Pacers, Milwaukee. I think
Bucks,
Detroit's going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're any
Miami
good.
Heat.
Look at that Detroit
playoffs.
Love.
Miami
no,
Heat.
I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they're any good, right. But I think they'll make the playoffs. They're not saying
yeah,
it all.
You know, the Miami Heat? You buying Miami Heat?
Okay.
Over Bulls?
I don't know if I'm buying stock
so
on them.
So is Fred Hoiberg the coach of the next Bulls team to make the playoffs?
Hold on. Let me just tell you this. Fred Hoiberg won't be the coach after February 1st.
This year, you're calling it February 1st. I have heard earlier predictions today, not to name any names, but I think February 1st is
putting
some pressure on.
All right, hang on. It's your show. Expound on that.
I believe that they've put him in a very tough spot with a system that he likes to play. I don't know if they've given him the pieces to fit that system. I don't think they're going to be a great defensive team. Pax is a very competitive type guy who I think thinks this team should be better than maybe you all think they're going to be. And I think they're going to hand the reins over maybe to Jim Boylan, but they are going to look to try and be better defensively than they probably will be.
Okay.
Because you'll have a young team that's good offensively, can't guard anybody, and Jim Boylan's a guy with a defensive reputation that can
Correct.
Slide right in.
Correct.
That's not an illogical thought.
I'm not saying that's fair to Fred.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
I'm just telling you, I think it could happen.
The counterpoint is, if you believe in Fred, you need to give him a new contract eventually. I mean, right?
Isn't That'll never happen.
Well, there you go.
I wouldn't say never.
But this is his fourth. This is Fred's fourth team in the 4 years that he's coached here. There's been very little, if in any, roster continuity or even decided direction.
Agreed.
The first year they were trying to contend. The second year they were in limbo. The third year they were rebuilding. And this year, what are they doing? I think that's hard to put him in that spot, even if he's not here. If he's not the guy, it's hard to put him in
there. Vinny, is this the most normal team he's had?
Fred Hoiberg doesn't understand normal. Not here. The Bulls don't understand normal. What is normal in the NBA?
I think last year's team was more normal just because it was so clearly defined that they were not going to be judged on wins and losses. But, and it was all about the three. I think this team actually has a chance to be pretty abnormal.
But that team did start with somebody knocked out cold in practice.
Abnormal in a way.
3-20 start. Too.
Abnormal in a way that doesn't fit together or abnormal in a way that's dysfunctional?
I think there's going to be some difficulties with shot distribution.
Okay, so you're suggesting that there's only one ball and there's some players that will think.
Tell me who's the third option. Because it's
who are the first two?
No. But see, you're thinking too far ahead. Think about it from you have
Markkanen, Zach LaVine, and then Jabari.
Okay, what I'm saying is this. Remember the Miami Heat with Bosh and Wade and LeBron, and those guys were veterans who had been there, all-stars, who had pedigree, and they had trouble discerning and figuring out who's won 1A and B. You think these young guys who are still trying to figure out who they are in this league are going to be willing to sacrifice, especially if you start studying early and you're the third option, and you're saying, wait a minute, I could be doing more. I should be doing
more. Who's your top three
options?
Man,
nope, you're not getting me going.
How about you?
Well, all I would say, I'm not going to answer that either, but all I would say is this. The difference, you immediately jumped to marketing. He doesn't have the ability to create his own shot.
So he might be the third option
right.
by
and
default.
So you know what's going to happen? He's going to be standing on the other side
I've
of court
think,
going,
though,
hey, can I get a couple of looks here, please?
It's basketball. It's clear
Jabari's
that he is
Jabari's
going to
be like,
guy.
Hey, man, I got 1 year guaranteed.
Right.
I'm getting my point.
And Zach Levine's going to sit there going, I just got paid. I'm the alpha on this team.
He didn't
right?
get paid as much as Jabari.
You guys are looking at this. I understand why you're looking at it this way, but you get Markkanen has clearly got the highest ceiling. Would you agree with that? Of all the players on this roster, highest ceiling.
Yes, but here's your first option, good team or bad team, your first option has to be able to create his own offense outside of the system. His offense comes exclusively because
that is
of the
not
system.
Lowry Markkanen.
But he's really buffed. What does that mean?
Hey, man, thanks.
So is Cap. He can't create his own shot either.
Thanks for being here. All right.
Vince is already done?
Oh, man.
We have more NBA.
All right.
We'll talk to Mark Sinowski in a little bit. Cubs' path to the World Series just got a little bit more difficult. It's official. Manny Machado, now a Dodger. So are the Cubs no longer the team to beat in the National League?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Bears rookies have reported to Bourbon A, except for him, Roquan Smith, the first-round pick, number 8 overall. 7 of the top 9 first-round picks still unsigned. And we're back on Sports Talk Live. Is it a big deal, or does that show you that it's really not that big of a deal that he's not there?
Well, the Bears are starting early, so there is some padding built in here to when things really become dire. And then there are milestones as we go through camp, and we'll just have to see how many we get through before he shows up. The rookies report, okay, that's 1. The veterans report Thursday, that's 2. They are on the field Friday, that's 3. And they're not in pads until, I believe, Sunday or Monday. So there's a little ways to go here. Deadlines, you know, prompt action in these types of scenarios. And then you ask yourself, what's the deadline? What's the deadline that's going to get him here? What's the deadline for the team to give him what he's asking for in terms of language in his contract? We'll see. I think he could be gone longer than people are comfortable with.
But what's the holdup then? It's not major stuff, you wouldn't think, right?
With the rookie contracts, we always know what the two things are. It's either the offset money, which is such a strange thing because it's only the money you owe him if he goes elsewhere before his contract ends, or then how the bonus gets paid out. And I think, too, we'll obviously be covering it as long as he's not there. But I was thinking back to Joey Bosa. You know, he was out for a long time his rookie year. And that dude is an awesome player. I don't think anybody with the Chargers has any qualms. I mean, maybe it'll impact his second contract if there's still some bad blood there. But, I mean, you forget about it because he was an outstanding player. He clearly was not impacted maybe early on, but eventually was a fine player. So, yeah, as Rich says, I think each time we reach a point, we'll, like, remind everyone he's not here. We'll ask about it. They won't say anything about it. You know, we'll talk to Ryan Pace on Thursday where we'll get the latest update. But, you know, if Roquan Smith, whenever he gets there, if he's the player they think he is, I don't think anybody's going to care how long he's out. But he's still, but the longer you're out, the less of a margin of error you have. You have to play well because then they're going to say, well, if you were here earlier, you'd be ready to go.
There's something to be said for his position, though. He's going to be in the middle of the defense, and that's a little different from Bosa, who could make his mark going after the quarterback, right? So Smith is going to have to be able to diagnose and play fast, and he's known for doing these things. He's known for identifying where the ball is going to go and his instincts. That'll help him. But the Bears want to count on him, right? They have done so much different on offense this offseason. You know, they changed personnel, changed the coaching staff. Everything's the same on defense with the exception of Roquan. And I feel like in order to get that defense to a higher level, they need a playmaking edge that Roquan brings them. But I also look at Ryan Pace here. And for whatever impasse there is between Smith and management, I think the management of the Bears doesn't have as much leverage or leeway with the fans here, just in terms of Pace carrying that baggage from the last three seasons forward with him. Yes, there's a sense of rebirth and a restart offensively, but when it comes to management, I think they need to get their eighth overall pick in.
Yeah, I don't think they have any cushion with fans. I mean, honestly, I think, yeah, people want to believe in Nagy and people want to believe in Mitch. But fans have there's no rope for the Bears. I mean, when you miss the playoffs this many years in a row, they don't care who's in charge.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of the same link. I mean, I always bring back to the Jay Cutler era. You know, I was there for his first game in Green Bay when he threw four picks. And that was just like the ultimate, you know, harbinger of what was going to come. And people were so furious that game.
Well, as you said, Kevin, a lot of this rookie contract, framework is already in place. So these impasses are over hypothetical situations. And, okay, so if it is a hypothetical situation that's being disputed here, are the Bears really going to dig in? Going to dig in on their eighth overall pick?
But if seven of the top 10 picks are still unsigned, he's not alone.
True.
This isn't like...
But oftentimes these agents will wait for a deal to be done, and that sort of sets the market, and they can work off that. And the Bears just happen to be in the position of reporting to camp first. So they are first in line because of the schedule here, and it's their turn to set this market, set whatever precedent other teams and agents are going to work with.
And that'll be the other benchmark, too, is next week, if he's still not there and we start to see these top 10 picks, then there really is going to be a question. But it is interesting, as you guys were saying, because usually in these quote-unquote holdout situations, which we so rarely see, a lot of fans take the side of management. Which is always interesting to me that they take that side and not the player. Well, here, as you said, I mean, I feel like everyone just wants Roquan Smith to be there. They want to see Roquan Smith. I don't know if there's not a whole lot of trust in what the front office is doing, especially when it comes to contracts. You think about the contracts this group has handed out the past couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of, you know, it's not going to be good PR for the team if he's not here, probably more so than for him if he's not here.
I mean, he's one of the three biggest stories going into the season, wouldn't you think?
You're talking about pre-holdout, just in terms of
general? Yeah, just in general, going into the Bears season. I mean, Trubisky's always got to be number one. Leonard Floyd trying to come back, maybe number two. And then the new offense or Roquan Smith?
I would say the Nagy stuff overwhelms everything. It's just him and Mitch. I mean, we're back to where it's just the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, and that stuff is the story. The defense will give it its proper attention. But let's be honest, what do people want to read about?
They do want to read about the offense, but that goes back to this point of Smith is the defensive intrigue. Everybody else is a known quantity.
Yeah.
And maybe they get better, and we'll see in September, right? But Smith is the difference there. So that, you know, we'll have the spotlight on it when it comes around. I'm with you. I mean, you can't write Trubisky and Nagy enough. Right. You really can't. But, you know, the Bears have lost. I mean, they don't have enough good players. The ones you have, you better get them into camp.
And I think when you talk about training camp storylines, that's where we're going this week, is Roquan Smith is higher on that list maybe than he would be in a bigger picture situation because we haven't seen him with his pads on yet. So we like a lot of the things, and Nagy talked about this with us, like he's like, yeah, you guys really haven't seen how good Roquan Smith is when we were at OTAs and minicamp. This is when we're going to see it. And when we get there, we know what to expect out of Kyle Fuller and Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan and even Leonard Floyd, even though he's going to be a big topic. Roquan Smith is if you're there, if you're in Bourbonnais, you want to see Mitch, you want to see the new pass catchers, and you want to see Roquan Smith.
Are you guys going to be able to see them, though? Where are they putting you at?
I mean,
you guys are in the water tower?
Rich always brings his binoculars. I'm going to have to start bringing mine, I think.
I do bring binoculars, and you need them because we are going to be far enough away that our vantage point is going to be poor.
Are you guys going to get no drones allowed, right?
No drone. Oh, but come on. You know how much information those can transfer to the opponent?
Would you be better off being a fan, buying a ticket and watching in the stands?
Well, you don't have to buy a ticket. So you can just go and stand in the bleachers, and I plan on doing that every day.
Throw off the credential and watch in the stands.
Listen, if Mitch makes some great play and some really cool route in the first practice and we let that out, the Packers already won. It's over. They already won a week one. It's done. So we got to, you know, got to respect the game here.
What did you think of Roquan, the signing in general? It seems like there's been no heat for that. Most people seem like that was a pretty good pick.
Yeah, the draft in him eighth overall, I thought it was a great pick based on the way he played at Georgia and what their defense needed and the fact that they really lack star power there that you've heard from either draft analysts, people in front offices, you know, former linebackers who you know played the game at a high level that – all believe that he's going to be excellent.
Yeah, I mean, you watched that video that was playing when we were talking of him at Georgia. If he plays like that in the NFL, if he hits like that and has that kind of speed, he's going to have a lot of fans in this town.
How many guys stay in the dorms? That's what I want to know. Reporters, how many hang out the whole time and stay in Bourbonnais the whole time?
Well, we got booted from the dorms, what, 3 years ago?
There's no dorms anymore?
No more
you guys
dorms
don't
for
get
us.
To bunk
yeah,
up?
But
no, they kicked us out in 20. Yeah, John Fox. Well, I guess now it's not Foxy's fault, but we were kicked out
the
in 2015.
The precedent's been set, though.
Yes.
That Fox.
So you got to hotel it? Is that what?
Yeah, so it's a hotel situation, but. Look, the dorm life is not glamorous. You know, I don't miss the dorms at all, and I was only there for 1 year.
The Olivet Nazarene dorm system is not it's not luxury.
Yeah, it is not luxury. A lot of very thin mattresses in there, and they at least give you your own bathroom for each one. So that was.
I wonder when they're.
I don't miss them.
I wonder when they're going to stop. I mean, we've talked about this before of them with the expansion stuff they're doing with House Hall. I know, you know, when does it become kind of silly to put these millionaires, these guys whose bodies are so important, in these Olivet Nazarene dorm rooms and going out to this college campus?
Yeah, you're not putting $100+ million into your team headquarters to leave for the most formative month of your season. You're just not doing that. They'll be back at Hallis Hall when the renovations are done and whatever infrastructure is put in place, maybe an extra road or something to get the stream of traffic in, and they can handle it up there a little bit. I don't remember how long their contract with ONU goes. I would have to double check that, and it's not imminent or anything. It's at least 2, 3, 4 years down the road, but there's you're not putting all that money into team headquarters to continue to leave.
I think I could see down the line that they'll have training camp at House Hall, maybe do like a day in Bourbonnais or something, yeah, just to like bring them all down there, just
turn for back the clock day
for the, yeah, okay. Bring all the fans. But, yeah, I mean, you're not building that facility. But there is a lot of infrastructure they have to build around there. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare if they want fans to be just aware the facility is located. It's going to be a nightmare to get fans in there.
And so they can just stream it on the website and fans can watch it.
But then they're also training one day at Vernon Hills High School, right? That's a new thing they keep trying to do, is go to a high school, practice for a day, flip with the team, that type of stuff.
It's a big glorified pep rally, right? Yeah. We were in Buffalo Grove last year. Was it Buffalo Grove High School?
Prospect High School.
Where all greatness begins. Yeah. Let's not
get this. Sorry.
It was Warren High School year before. You know, there's no Family Fest this year. There's no Soldier Field Family Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always a waste of a practice.
They scrimmage live at that, so they do tackle at that practice, which is, though, I always appreciated that. You know, they're on a Saturday and it's the middle of the summer and Lollapalooza is going on and everything, but they tackled at that one. It's being replaced this year by the Hall of Fame game. So that'll be interesting. We'll have to see who even plays in that. They might, you know, bench the entire first string.
Yeah, get used to hearing the word Tyler Bray in that one.
Yeah.
Tom Cooper's telling me in my ear, 2022 is the end of Bourbonnais.
So there you go.
Well, that could be.
That would be a pretty solid benchmark, right? For building roads and making sure that the fields are all set. And even as we were up there all spring, bulldozers everywhere, construction lanes blocked off, right? I mean, there's just a lot of activity going on.
You guys are going to get busy. I don't know what you're going to do. It's going to be real, real busy.
We're going to be down in Bourbonnais for parts of 5 calendar weeks. I mean, this is a long Bears preseason. And to your point, John, that we're going to follow this offense, right? The development of this offense. But what are we going to see? They're not showing us everything. I mean, the real unveiling is September 10th against the Packers. So it's going to be a long, long march to get there.
Who's Hard Knocks this year?
Cleveland,
yeah.
Cleveland Browns.
Baker Mayfield.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'd love to see the Bears do that just once. Just for some of the behind-the-scenes
so
stuff.
Great. Which media member would be the star of Hard Knocks?
Cap.
No. He was not there enough.
No, yeah, Cap.
He would be.
If Hard Knocks is there, Cap's going to be there.
He'd wear the all-nude suit and do the walk of shame and everything for you. Another NASCAR Cup Series race, another win for the Big Three. This time, Martin Truex Jr., as he repeats, is the winner at Kentucky. Is the dominance of 3 cars a problem this year? Scott Paddock drops by with your NASCAR update next.
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for authentic fan nights featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
I wanted to be a Chicago Bull as soon as they showed interest. because it's always been a dream to me, especially come back home and being close already. It was just like chipping away, and I was just couldn't wait to participate and be a Bull.
Well, there is the newest member of the Bulls. Gets a two-year, $40 million deal, but only the first year is guaranteed. Mark Schanowski joins us now, Mr. NBA. So do you like this signing? They could have gone, taken that cap space and allowed someone to park bad money there to get a draft pick. Instead, they made this move.
Yeah, I like it. I think the fact that they had that $20 million or so in cap space, why not bring in a young player on a low-risk deal and see if maybe he's going to fit with your developing core? I don't really like the idea of trading for a bad contract and getting a pick in the 20s. I don't think that really gets you any further down the road. I think Jabari Parker, when he was drafted second overall back in 2014, people looked at him as potentially an elite scorer, like a Carmelo Anthony type player, you know, like a power small forward who could overpower wings in the post and could also score on the perimeter. Obviously, two ACL surgeries later, we don't know if he still has that explosiveness, but this guy's worked tremendously hard to overcome those injuries. I think there's still a lot left there. It's up to the Bulls to try to get the best out of him going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I already said on this show, I believe, that I think
it's the same show, KC. Second half hour.
Whoa. it's a low risk move, and just take a shot at it.
How good a scorer can he be?
He's a really versatile scorer because he's got mid range game. He can post up sometimes. His 3-point shot has improved dramatically.
Good finisher on the break.
Very good finisher on the break, and actually still pretty explosive, even with it after the ACL surgeries. And Fred today talked about how they're going to play very fast. So, yeah, I think offensively, I don't think there's much concern over this signing. I think defensively is where.
Mark, we were debating earlier about whether or not this makes the Bulls a legitimate playoff contender in the East. Everything is about context. In the East, do you think that the Bulls can reasonably go into the next season with that as the expectation?
I think they're a playoff contender. I think because of their youth, it's going to be difficult to crack that top eight. I think six spots are pretty much already figured out. And the Bulls are probably going to compete with Miami, Cleveland, and Detroit for those last two spots. If everything breaks right, if this works out the best possible scenario, they could win 41 games and sneak into the playoffs. More likely, I think they're a 35-win kind of team with a lot of growing pains with so many young guys on the
court. When you mentioned that you'd rather have him than the Nuggets pick,
or Kenneth Faried.
Pick in the Brooklyn trade, doesn't that pick, even if it's number 23 or something, doesn't that better fit the Bulls' timeline than with Parker, who you're either going to have for a year or two, or then you get to pay him a lot of money?
The only way you really win big in the NBA is finding stars.
Right. And here's a chance to get a star on the rebound.
The chances to find somebody in the 20s are pretty unlikely. Right. I mean, Lakers did really well getting Kyle Kuzma. I think it was at 27. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell was 13, I believe. So you can find guys occasionally later in the draft. But generally, you need a top 10 pick to find a guy who may become an all-star in the NBA. And to take on a bad contract, or like what in the case of the Brooklyn Nets, take on two bad contracts to get a pick in, the Nuggets will probably be somewhere in the 12 to 18 range. You know, I don't know how that's going
to
work
Jabari Parker sounded to me today like a guy intent on proving that he still can be an NBA star.
Mm-hmm.
That he thinks in his mind he still can be the guy who was worthy of the number 2 overall pick in the draft and has something to prove. Is that a good thing overall for this Bulls team in terms of rebuild? In that there's going to be roles that are going to have to be defined. And what role, how he defines his role and how the Bulls define his role, could they be two different
things? And any concern that what he said on the score today was, I'm not a defensive player, I'm a scorer.
Right. I know what my strengths are, I know my weaknesses are. And basically insinuated that everybody in the NBA is a bad defensive player, which isn't exactly true. But my biggest concern with Jabari coming in is that he really is a forward version of Zach LaVine. You know, a guy who's not a great defender, who's a ball stopper on offense, and who's going to force up some shots that are low percentage. So now if you've got two guys in your starting lineup like that and you're trying to develop Lauri Markkanen as your featured player, all of a sudden the 21-year-old Finn is looking around going, hey, when am I going to get my touches? But he's probably not going to say anything to anybody. At least not to the media.
Yeah, yeah. No, we were talking about this earlier. It's like,
show.
Fred's got his hands full. I mean, you know, management's like, their plan is, get as much talent, young talent, and here you go, Fred. And now Fred and his staff have to figure out how to make it work.
When they brought Fred here and let Tom leave, it was Big Bad Tom, get out of town. Fred, we're going to hand you the keys to a team where We're going to pace in space. We're going to run. And, Fred, you're going to take this team to the next level. And Fred got here and went, it's not the Mercedes you promised me. It's
right.
A flipping smart car.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never, ever really had a chance.
Yeah. He's also getting paid $5 million.
Yeah, no question. But isn't this such a better situation than the Bulls were in a year ago, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, no question about it.
Absolutely.
And
in 13 months, they've added six good players, six potentially good players.
Does he have the fifth year, I've heard it a million different ways. Is his contract guaranteed for 5 years, or is something have to happen in year four for it to be guaranteed in the fifth year?
That's the guy to ask over there, Casey.
I have never reported that because I don't know the answer to that. So I'll get that answer for you, though.
I know you will.
You know, in the NBA right now, though, everybody talks about offensive systems. When Fred came in from Iowa State, they said, well, he had the fastest-paced offense in NCAA basketball. Coaches are not going to dramatically change the course, future of a basketball team. Talent is what wins in the NBA, and there really aren't a whole lot of different systems being run around the league. Yeah, you've got Mike D'Antoni down in Houston, three-point heavy kind of offense, but basically everyone's trying to push the pace. Everyone's running screen and roll and running some basic weak side actions. It's a pretty simple game when you really break it down.
All right, let's talk about Kawhi Leonard, the big blockbuster trade finally went through this morning. DeMar DeRozan goes down to San Antonio a week after he says he was promised by Toronto management he would not be traded. Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green heading to Toronto. What's your guys' thoughts on this deal?
Well, here, my initial thought is never decry a player for choosing his own path in free agency because, you know, it's a business. I mean, teams can do whatever they want. And so I've never understood, like, when Durant or LeBron, when he first left the Cavs for the Heat, get ripped for choosing what they want to do in free agency because, you know, it's a two-way street. And so, you know.
Remember, everyone assumed DeRozan was going to go to L.A.
Yeah.
He played his college ball at USC, grew up in the area.
Professed and thought, complete loyalty to the Raptors.
He never even took a visit. You know, first day, I believe, he committed to the long-term extension with the Raptors.
I think this is one of the more depressing trades I can remember. I mean, both of these guys are top 15, top 20 players. Both of them are heartbroken that they're leaving the place or that they're going where they're going.
Right.
You know, Kawhi wanted to be traded, but, you know, they sent him to the geographic, cultural, you know, country opposite of where he wanted to go. And DeRozan was happy being the greatest Raptor ever. How many people alive could, you know, would ever say that out loud, especially a kid from L.A.? And he's bummed that he's going to go play with one of the great coaches of all time and on a team that has a chance to be really good. And he's upset. It's amazing.
How good Kawhi's going to be counting down the days until free agency.
How good does this make the Raptors? How does it change them?
It gives them one chance at getting to the finals. I mean, with their nemesis LeBron finally gone off to the West, although Dwayne Casey won't benefit from it, with a new coach coming in, Nick Nurse, now they have an opportunity, if they can get past the Celtics, maybe to get to the finals. Kawhi Leonard, if he's going to be motivated to play at an all-star level, really is going to lift that talent level there. And I think the Raptors might be the second-best team in the East now. It gives them an opportunity to maybe get to the finals. And then if Kawhi doesn't re-sign and leaves, then you just blow it up and you start over again.
Yeah,
take one shot.
Yeah, and in that sense, it's very analogous to the Oklahoma City Pacers trade to Paul George a year ago, is that Sam Presti banked on getting Paul George in their culture and in their building and show them what their franchise is all about. And everyone thought it was fait accompli that he was going to Lakers, and he's here he is re-upping with
but
the
But wasn't that the exception to the rule?
Absolutely.
I mean, that doesn't – I mean, to assume that would ever happen again is probably foolish.
Rare.
Right?
Well, I don't know about foolish. It could happen. But, yeah, it's definitely the exception.
Thanks for being here.
All right, Cap.
All right. We'll be back to wrap up STL right after this.
Same show.